All right, let's look at this passage again. The right of private principle of private judgment. This denies the right of any man or body of men to set themselves up as the final interpreters of truth. In their opinion, they claim of infallibility, whether made from popes or councils, rests on no foundation whatever and has to be completely rejected. St. Paul insisted that Christians should prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. They had their own responsibility to examine the facts. The need for the Protestant doctrine of private judgment will be seen if we look again at tradition as received in the Roman Church. All right, I'm going to go on to page 124. I'm skipping through a lot, but this is third. The Scottish, like the Continental Reformers, emphasize strongly the priesthood of all believers. All right. I will go to page 125. Luther and other reformers came to realize that this was not the way of salvation, in other words, by works pictured in the New Testament. They awakened to the fact that as the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, Matthew 27:51, at the moment when Christ died on Calvary, and a way was thus opened into the most holy place, which hitherto had been closed to all but the high priest, so through the death of Christ, all believers can enter into the holiest of heaven above the new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, Hebrews 10:19-20. Every believer had now come to enjoy the privileges of priesthood, Revelation 1:6-10, and could draw near to God in full assurance of faith, needing no other priest than Jesus, our great high priest, who had offered himself a sacrifice on the cross to take away our sins. No ecclesiastical ceremonies required, nothing but the humble believing acceptance by the truly penitent of the salvation wrought out by Christ in Hebrews 10:21-22. Through the acceptance of this truth by the reformers, the special power of the ordained priest was broken, for all true believers were now made priests unto themselves. And I'm going to skip to the next page. In no place was the doctrine of priesthood of all believers more wholeheartedly accepted than in the Reformed Church of Scotland. Not only did this free the land from priestcraft with its attendant evils, but it produced the Presbyterian conception that the government of the church is equally in the hands of the ministers and elders. It freed the land for a time from the curse of clericalism and greatly strengthened the belief that before God there are no distinctions of caste or class. For, like the Reformed brethren on the continent, the Scottish divines maintain strongly that nothing should be introduced into the worship or doctrine of the church but what is expressly authorized in the Holy Scriptures. And that speaks for itself. He goes on to elaborate. A fifth, the Scottish reformers returned to the apostolicity of the early church. The claim of the Church of Rome is that it is not only Catholic but apostolic. The contention of the reformers was that the Roman church had departed so far from the teachings and practice of the early centuries that it had become pathetically different from the apostles' church. In the primitive church, the leaders were plain men who had no pretensions to worldly glory and power. And then it goes on to discuss the corruption and all the doctrines, which I'm going to put here in the last the last paragraph in the Principles of the Scottish Reformation, which was the doctrine of transubstantiation, which is not founded. There's a once and for all sacrifice. Lord Jesus did it. And every Mass is not a re-sacrificing on the altar of Jesus Christ. This is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. There are no images or pictures of Christ or angels. None of this, because the people began to worship the images and the pictures. This is idolatry. The lamentable departure from apostolic practice in regard to purgatory, the adoration of the host, the adoration of the Virgin Mary, the worship of saints and angels, to cite only a few examples. Because of such things, the claim of the Roman Church of Rome to be apostolic became a misuse of words. At the Reformation, with the return to the New Testament teachings and practice, the church became once more apostolic in its attitudes and such rites and observances as were foreign to the spirit of the gospel were swept away.